Your heart beats faster and faster.
Coming at you live from the Haunted Warren Winery in somewhere Michigan, this is the Ghost of the Demon Hunter Show.
Oh yeah, paranormal broadcasting where 4 out of 5 paranormal experts say chewing G&D will help cure cavities.
That was original. It took you all night, brother. Hey, guys, we are live in studio once again, and we're the G&T. Well, Bonnie's in the G&T chat room all night long.
And Yes. You can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And, of course, this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
And this is the Sunday, March 30th broadcast of our little show.
That's right. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris and is broadcast live on Omnisound and KarmaCast Radio and is recorded for Blog Talk Radio, I Am Haunted Radio, and Planet Paranormal.
Wow. Did you used to be an auctioneer? I have to ask right now.
We blew the intro. It's over. Okay, guys, tonight's guest, I hope you're ready for another long one. I know you just listened to G&T, but...
G&T.
Tonight's guest, first up the bat, we got Jeffrey Stewart, founder and investigator from the Paranormal Investigations of New England. Then later on, we're going to be looking for the lizard man in the swamp bogs of Carolina. We'll be talking to James Snell from the Bigfoot Research Society. He'll be calling in live from the hunt for the beast. So get ready, guys. It's going to be wild.
That's right. The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast. And it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
Yes.
Welcome back. What show are we doing?
This is what happens when you do 5 hours in one Sunday.
Welcome back, Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show listeners around the world. We are, in fact, live in...
Get closer to the mic, though.
Yeah.
Right about there.
That's closer.
That's
there.
Gorgeous.
Yes, that sounds hot.
But we are
Let
live.
Me hear you say, do that again.
Do that again.
There we go.
You like that? Huh. That do it for you?
That's better.
Do you want us to start calling you Big Papa now?
I am the board. You will be assimilated.
You're such an otter, Nathan.
Why do I feel like I'm on the outside of an inside joke?
I'll
explain it to you later, babe.
But we are in the beautiful Ghostly Talk Studios. Thanks, guys, for letting us hang out here, chill out, and do the show from what part of Michigan is it?
Warren.
Beautiful Warren, Michigan. Demon Hunter. I've been here. I got here Friday a little after 2-ish p.m.-ish and showed up at Dougish's house and just kind of hung out all weekend, man. We've been having a great time. Had a huge party last night. And,
another party that the Demon Hunter wasn't at. I see. Yep.
I don't even think you were invited to this one.
I wasn't. What? I was sitting...
I blame Doug, and you should too.
I was crying at home alone.
Because I said, Doug, I think we should invite the Demon Hunter. And he said, we have Sean here.
Using only your tears.
I kept going back to the closet and looking at my prom dress hanging there unworn.
It's about time you come out of that closet, by the way.
Did you know, I wasn't aware it was going to be an actual party.
Okay, wait. Before you start glaring at me like you are right now.
Yeah.
I specifically invited three people.
Yeah. Three.
The rest of the people are on you.
Ah. Yeah. I got to learn to keep my trap shut.
Yeah, apparently.
That was the hillbilly Doug.
Keep my trap shut.
I need to keep my trap shut.
Learn to keep it.
But no.
There goes another one.
Learn to keep. But in fact, man, we are in Warren, Michigan, and I got to tell you something. This is the first time I drove Demon Hunter from Indiana to Michigan, and I believe I'm going to go back to flying because I did not. Yeah. Yeah, I found so many roads. First of all, I'm coming into town. You have to go through Nowhere, Indiana to get to Nowhere to Ohio, get to Nowhere, Michigan, right? So I'm taking all these turns, and I'm coming into Michigan. It's about a six-hour drive from Indiana where I live. And at one point in Michigan, Bonnie calls me on my cell phone because our good friends, you know, they cared so much. They knew I'd been traveling all day. They waited until the end of my trip to call and see if I was still alive.
You know what? So. Shut up.
But Bonnie calls me and says, come get me. So I'm like, okay, reroute the GPS or whatever. She's like, oh, no, don't bother. I know how to get there. So the next exit she tells me to take, and I get off there. I swear to God, the pavement companies stopped right there. There is no pavement. There is no. When I got off the interstate, it was like the Donner Party, the trail that they follow. It was all dirt. Oh. It was just mud and dirt, man. The Cobalt could barely take it. But I did get Bonnie. I rescued her from her family's house, and we.
Because I needed rescuing from my family.
She did. I got Bonnie, and we went out to Doug's, and he was so happy, and he's so happy right now just to have us here this weekend. So.
I am. I'm ecstatic that you drove up and that you brought her. I mean, Bonnie.
Hey, wait a minute, mister. When Sean leaves tomorrow, you still have to deal with me.
Yes.
I'm not going back to Indiana tomorrow.
What's going on with you, Demon Hunter?
Oh, I actually went out on a ghost hunt last night. It was,
That like?
It was like... I'd forgotten what this whole thing was about. I realized, you know, I do a show every week about ghost hunting. And it had been a long time since I had gone out on a ghost hunt.
Oh, honey, join the club.
You also do a show about women's lingerie. Let's not forget about that every Wednesday night.
Yes, but, Nate. But that's a private show, Sean, just for you.
So. I've heard it.
Sean, you weren't supposed to share that with anybody.
So dirty. So what happened last night? Did you get any good EVP? Did you see any shadow people, any ghosts?
Well, as everybody knows, I've been sick for about the last 2 weeks. I had pneumonia. And pneumonia knocked me off my feet. I was lying down for 2 weeks. Last night was the first night I really went out and did anything. I was very tired. I'm still wheezing. But went out, and I went with the East Coast Scare Society, which are friends of mine out of the New York area. And I took them to a place where I have an ongoing investigation.
Was that really hot chick there?
Yes, oh, yes, geez. She was. She was.
You know the one.
I'm just saying.
Yes, she was there, Sean. She asked about it.
Just say yes, and she was wearing Daisy Dukes. That'll make him happy. Yes.
Oh.
But we went out, and I took my friend Rob M., who does our Paranormal Fast Track report.
Okay.
The night was very interesting. I haven't gone through my audio yet, because I've got probably about 6 hours of audio and 3 hours of video I have to go through.
Right, have fun with that.
Yeah, that's always, you know, everybody who always tells me they want to go out on a ghost hunt with me, I tell them, okay, but first you have to do 3 investigations where you don't go, you just have to listen to all my audio for me. Usually after the first time, they don't want to go on a trip. But this...
That's like the roadies.
Yes.
The fans on the road that come up to us and you tell them, you want my autograph? Well, you have to do 3 things. That doesn't include...
Stop right there. Just stop.
I said include. Include.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of the order of faves.
But anyway.
Well, they're a
We actually set up and did everything for the investigation. People did see some shadows move. The place has been reported to have shadow people. So that was interesting. Several of the people were sitting in the main area. And they started hearing a woman humming in the back of the room. Okay. So I'm looking forward to checking that out on the tape. And we also, after everybody else left, Rob and I stayed and did another EVP session for about an hour. And, you know, maybe I was a little off color with some of my jokes at that point. I made a...
Oh, not you, Nate.
I made a little comment about, you know, probably Hasidic masturbation techniques, I don't know.
Oh, nice.
But making one of these off-color jokes, something got dropped upstairs, something large and metal. You heard it go crash right in the middle of the room upstairs. And we went up, we couldn't find anything. Yeah. The ghost was saying, he knows!
Exactly.
Oh my god, he caught me in the shower.
So, but that was very interesting. So, then I came home at around 3:30 in the morning, fell asleep probably around 4:30, and slept till 1 this afternoon. So that was my day.
So well, you slept later than the drunks.
Yeah. Bonnie. No, but
yes, because I was the drunk.
Yesterday, like I said, we're here in Michigan, and yesterday I got to go to see where they took me on a little driving tour, Nate, and they sent me out and they showed me where it all started, baby. Where Ghostly Talk started its roots, where Dougie and Scott L had the conversation that led into the empire, if you will, Ghostly Talk, Paranormal Talk Show. But they showed me the little bar and now it's a live nude club. So I think at the time it was too. But they took me to the bar and I drove around it, and apparently there's no windows in bars in Michigan. I don't know if the listeners knew that, but that's a quick fact for you guys.
Hold on 1 second, Sean. Doug, can you give Sean a lesson on how to talk into a condenser or into a dynamic microphone?
Sean, it's a lot like this, okay?
Okay, if I get any closer, I'm going to eat the microphone. So is this okay?
That's what dynamic mics are for, Sean. Just think of the party last night and you'll be fine.
As I'm gnawing on the microphone right now, everybody, I'd like to tell you about my trip to Michigan. So we've cleared the starting point for Ghostly Talk. I went through there and Bonnie, beautiful, bodacious Bonnie from Ghostly Talk Radio, she sent me, we went down to the cemetery. What's the name of it?
I call it Custer Cemetery because that's where it is.
Custer's?
Lennox Burial Ground,
Custer Cemetery. It's off Custer Road here in Michigan. But they took me to it, Demon Hunter, and it's sitting in the middle of this little neighborhood. It's a little old-fashioned cemetery.
On a dirt road.
On a dirt road. Imagine that. Yeah.
A very nice dirt road.
We go back there, and I'm looking at all these stones and everything, and I got to say it was kind of nice being back out at the cemeteries, you know, and walking around. But the highlight of the cemetery was this tree. And it just so happens to be called the boot tree.
What did you do to the tree, Sean? What did you do to the tree that it was your highlight?
It's funny. You have to check out the pictures on MySpace. But Bonnie said there's this big boob tree. So we went to the back, and I'm thinking, okay, it's got a hump on it or something. This thing had perfectly round, supple breast. This tree did.
Sean tried to milk them. It was great.
It even had like a woman's profile.
For those just coming in now, Sean Burris is in the Ghostly Talk studio with Ghostly Talk Doug and Bonnie, and they're talking about the boob tree. Go on, Sean.
Yeah, apparently that was for you, Rosie, because on Ghostly Talk she said that I outdid myself at
Spooktacular.
Yeah, Spooktacular. Apparently people are noticing, Nate.
Gee, I can't imagine who.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, this tree, man, had the biggest jug you've ever seen. They had the face and everything. And I was wrapped around it, and I got pictures touching it and everything. But it was very paranormal. I think there might be the spirit of a woman trapped in the tree.
Well, I'm hopefully sure she's satisfied now after you spent the night with her, Sean. So it's all good.
Yes, she is. But anyway, we did have that party last night. Everybody showed up. Great guys from Metro Paranormal here in Michigan. They rock. They're awesome. We love you guys. And they brought over something called Rock Band. Do you know anything about this, Nate?
No.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like Guitar Hero, but it has the drum set, and they had like two guitars with it, and man, it is nuts. You got to have a woman singing, and one guy playing the drums, and a couple guys playing the guitar, and it was just a blast, especially after like 16 bottles of wine, which is what Doug started off with. And
then he moved on to tequila.
No, he didn't. He doesn't.
Pictures are up on my MySpace page if anyone would like to see them.
Yeah, if anybody goes to Bonnie's MySpace page and looks at it, Nate, remember, Doug doesn't drink.
Often.
This is
why.
He doesn't drink anymore, nor any less.
Hey, I just need to say, for those folks who are listening to the show, I've got some word again that we're having some trouble going out on OmniSound. Our friend Jeff, who runs OmniSound, is not doing well, and we send our love out to him. If you can't get, if people are having trouble getting us on OmniSound, get in touch with them. Tell them to go over to KarmaCast. We're broadcasting live off of KarmaCast as well. So I hope everything's okay with Jeff, but just in case. And Bonnie, isn't there a way people can listen in on the phone too?
Yes, as a matter of fact, there is. All they have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign, and you can get the show live on your cell phone.
I swear to God, guys, I've heard that voice before. It was on 1-900 number. I know it, but I've heard it.
You're not supposed to tell. That was private.
Do it again with Slew.
See, I told you he'd say that. But So if you're having trouble getting us, go over to KarmaCast. You can pick us up live there. Of course, if they're having trouble getting us, they're not getting this message anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But do we have any news this week, Sean?
We do, but first I wanted to bring up, Nate, is there anybody in the chat room, Bonnie Jo?
Yes. Ghost Chaser, Prism Lisa, Spanky, I'll let you say the rest of it.
Spank-a-lank McBoobles, thank you.
Laura Moon, and Muldoon.
Hello, hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Yes. Huh? Yes. No, I guess. Sean, did they not do their job and watch you prior to the show? Have you been drinking, Sean?
No, I have not been drinking.
Actually,
I
gave him a funnel and a keg.
So she did
do
her job.
Was I not supposed to do that?
So you did do your job. Okay, Bonnie.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right,
I tried to slip in some, you know, other stuff so that he would tone it down, but it didn't work.
That's so hot. She tried to put a roofie in my drink, everybody.
I did. I was so going to take advantage of him in the studio.
It worked, too. I'm out, everybody. Have a good night.
We're going to have this kind of show. So...
I got some great news stories, Demon Hunter. I got cut off last week. We ran out of time. But I got a real humdinger, if you will, this week. We got man pleads guilty to sodomy with dog. Are you ready for this, everybody?
Okay, I'm getting ready for the button here, Sean, so go ahead.
No, this was not Doug S. from Ghostly Talk Radio, everybody. I know you did. But this story is by Ron Sylvester from the Wichita Eagle Times, and it says a 20-year-old Wichita man pleaded guilty to misdemeanor sodomy today for having sex with a dog. Lawyers will now argue over whether he should have to register as a sex offender.
Joshua Sean's really Coleman. Worried about this one.
I know.
I'm sweating bullets.
His sex life could die.
It's shrinking right now, folks. Joshua Coleman entered his plea in Sedgwick County District Court by Judge Joseph Verbesca. Set sentencing over until Wednesday. Coleman's lawyer, Eric Savada, said his plans to challenge the state's attempt to require Conan to register. Wichita police arrested Conan on February 19th after an acquaintance found him having sex with her 4-year-old female Rottweiler in her garage. Okay? You would think a poodle, maybe, but no, we got to go for the Rottweiler right away. I always choose.
Now we know where Sean started.
Talk about dangerous sex practices, but go ahead.
Or a mini pincher, mini dobie, whatever. Kansas sodomy law makes having sex with an animal a crime punishable by up to 6 months in jail, Doug. Coleman pleaded guilty to a similar charge last year in Reno County, guys. You can find more out about that at www.kansas.com. It's a huge case out that way. And I think Nathan's going to be sharing a jail cell with this man in the near future. I can see it.
For killing his partner for things he reads on the air. But
I just thought, it's weird news, man. It's paranormal.
It's not
it's
normal,
definitely
but.
Definitely not normal.
Hey, what does paranormal mean, everybody? I need you to email right now, or not email, but go on the chat room and say what paranormal. It's beyond normal. Anything beyond normal. It doesn't have to be necessarily about ghosts, little green men, or goblins. It can be anything that's beyond normal.
Well, that's where we got our tagline, Beyond the Normal Broadcast, Sean. But actually, I have found out that para does mean above. You know, I argued the point for a while, but that's why there are paratroopers. You know, it's from above the normal, so yeah.
Uh-huh.
Way to kill it, Nathan. Way to kill it.
Yeah, everything cool Bonnie just said, you ruined it. I'm so mean.
Nathan, I love you.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You love Sean.
Nathan, I love you.
She loves us all.
I'm going to call.
What about you, Nate? What about our great place of the week, brother? You got anything big?
Let's see here. I guess we could talk about... Kansas versus Minnesota in the battle for who's got the biggest balls.
That would be... Search is over.
I can do my part by the checking the folks in the room, if you'd like.
Oh, wow. There we go. Well, there's only one way to be the world's largest of any given object. This rule applies to anything that you look at. No matter what it is, there can only be one largest in the world. It's indisputable. However, a dispute has arisen through the case of the world's largest ball of twine. Residents of Quaker City, Kansas, hope I'm saying Quaker right, not upsetting an entire city, Quaker City, Kansas, have for decades gone head-to-head with Darwin, Minnesota, laying the claim that each has the largest twine ball and trying to gather this hard to claim and not much sought after title. The two balls began their careers in the early 1950s. The Minnesota twine ball was started by Francis Johnson, who began gathering all of his extra twine and spent 39 years rolling it for 4 hours each day. Three years later, after Johnson started his ball, Frank Stubber started rolling a twine ball in Quaker City.
Quacker.
The two balls. I'm trying to read here, you bum.
Call me a ball.
The two balls. The ghost man, demon hunter.
Yes.
Those are the two battles
to determine the largest balls throughout their lives. Stover surpassed Johnson in the late 1950s, surprising everyone, and held the title until his death in 1974. Johnson kept rolling twine after that for years, reclaiming the title for Minnesota. His ball topped out at 12 feet. You got to give the man some credit, 12-foot ball. If you want to check out which ball is the largest, you can either head out to Quaker City, Kansas, or Darwin, Minnesota, or you can just head over to our friends at www.weirdus.com, Mark and Mark with Weird US of Weird New Jersey.
Or you could go to ghostanddemon.com, find out where we're going to be at next, folks, and come out and see us.
Find the largest balls around. That's right. Or you could go to our website, www.ghostanddemon.com, go to our friends and events, and we have a link right there to get over to Weird US.
You know what gets me, though, Nate? I got a question. I don't think those people have much sexual relations in that town. If I had to guess.
Well, it was one man's ball, Sean. One man's ball.
Did he have children? Yeah, I'm thinking if he's rolling balls of twine, I don't know of a woman out there that would stick with him. I'm sorry. Maybe they do. Maybe women are hot for that.
Well, I'm going to be mean, Sean. I'm going to be really mean. Tell me, what keeps a woman around?
Apparently, that was cold, Nathan, and I love you for it.
Okay, I love you, Nathan. It's coming back to you. Okay, but let me tell you a little story.
Cold. Wow.
Ladies, log on to the forums right now. Tell us what keeps a woman around.
He's kept this woman around.
That's right.
Ooh. Oh, Jesus. Sexy woman. But hey, we got a story coming up right here, guys. Bag of bones, woman stop for skeleton and luggage. Are you ready for this?
Why
yes.
not?
Yes. Peace.
I need response, people. This is live interactive radio. Munich, Germany. A woman was stopped at Munich Airport after baggage control handlers found the skeleton of her brother sealed in a plastic bag in her luggage. Police said Wednesday the 62-year-old woman and her 63-year-old friend, who both live in Italy, were hauled in by airport police Tuesday after a scan of the bag showed a human skull and other bones. The woman were traveling to Italy from Brazil. Everything weird happens in Brazil or Italy. It turned out that the woman was trying to fulfill the last wish of her brother, who died 11 years ago in São Paulo, Brazil, to be buried in Italy. The travelers produced the appropriate papers from the Brazilian authorities for the unusual transport and were allowed to carry on their way to Naples, bones and all.
Ooh. Now, did she fly the bones there? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, she flew them from São Paulo, or she was flying them from São Paulo, Brazil, into Italy. And you know what? The funny thing is, I work for, around the airports and everything, and I can't even get my shoes past. Every time I go through there, I get strip searched and
annually
probed. I can't get through there.
That's because they like you, Sean.
I guess. I can't even... Can you imagine sneaking bones through? Your brother's bones?
Well, I'll tell you, the last time I flew out there to see you, Sean, I was flying back. And everybody who was at with us out at the Weird Winter Film Festival, the Dead of Winter Film Festival, saw that I was in pretty bad shape. My legs were killing me. I was using my cane. And they stopped me coming through the gate and didn't want to let me bring my cane into the airport.
Are you serious?
They because it was such a heavy cane, they were afraid it could be used as a club. And I had to have someone come over from security, who is like a supervisor, and okay my cane so I could get into the airport.
That's ridiculous.
And she got bones.
That's crazy, man. See, that's the thing I'm talking about. I know we have to be safe at the airports and everything, guys. But can you imagine these ghost hunters to go through here with their cases of EMF meters and all this stuff? I mean, how much problems do ghost hunters have getting through clearance at airports? You know, Demon Hunter? Tell me. I need to know.
You saw what happened with me with trying to bring the sound equipment last time, Sean. The entire bag was opened and stuff was everywhere.
Yeah. See, I think that's a good topic, guys. You need to go to ghostanddemon.com, log on to our forums, please, and go in there and write your experiences at the airport. How hard's it been trying to get through, you know, airport clearance security with your EMF meters and stuff like that? It's got to be a huge problem in the paranormal community right now.
Well, why don't you start that string there, Sean, and maybe someone will follow it on.
I think I will. I'll start it tomorrow while I'm driving.
There you go. There you go.
I think you should.
Well, guys, why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we'll have Gigi with Inside the Horror.
Wow, that went quack. That went quick, guys. Stick around. Gigi's up next.
We'll be right back.
Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is Intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html. Using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel, where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger with GhostVillage.com, author and lecturer and all-around weird guy. And when I'm not out ghost hunting, I'm listening to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Whoa, and Sean, uh-oh. It is time for that all-important question of the evening.
What is it? Scary movie?
Yo!
What's up, guys?
I guess I should have checked to make sure you were on the line there first, Gigi, before I actually played your music.
You're like,
hello,
is she there?
Gigi.
I don't know. Oh, no. Is that the infamous Bonnie?
Yes, it is.
Now, Gigi, no, like, spreading rumors about Bonnie while you're on the air tonight.
Hey, what we did 2 weeks ago is nobody's business, all right?
Exactly. We're keeping that between me and you.
And the things that were shaved are just between us. So.
Long-grow action, little pair of...
And Nathan's like, there goes the family rating.
I don't even bother anymore. We're straight to mature now.
Speak for yourself, Nate.
I know. I'm like, hey, wait a second.
What's going on, Gigi? What's cracking? What's happening, baby?
Oh, God, guys, I'm so excited. I was in Nashville last weekend. That was pretty cool, hanging out with some of our favorite people, like George Romero and Kane Hodder, the original Jason, and, well, the last Jason, I should say. Tony Moran, the Michael Myers, was there. And yeah.
Michael Myers, he's still my favorite comic.
I like Spider-Man.
I like Spider-Man. So it was cool. We went and, you know, met a lot of the fans, and there was a lot of weird butt signing, and I don't know, but okay. Apparently we have a lot of fans that like us to sign their butts. I don't know.
Really?
Guys. It was interesting.
That's what Bonnie was telling me. You went there, and she was telling me the story about how everybody's asking you to sign certain parts. Nate, apparently we're missing out.
Apparently. I
well, sounds vaguely familiar. Kind of makes me think of Gettysburg for some reason.
I got to sign one American Ghostwatcher video. That's it.
Bonnie signed a lot of parts in her time.
A couple breasts.
And had a lot signed.
Oh, man. No, it was awesome. I mean, had a lot of really cool people there. I did, like, a celebrity speaking thing, and then I went up and hosted the crazy costume contest, which was such a trip. There was the Elvira impersonator and Circus Envy were judging it, and it was just nuts, guys. It was like a free-for-all. Get a bunch of horror people in the room. It was like a free-for-all. It was funny. I was cracking up. Number? What?
Did you get Elvira's number? Her digits?
Oh, I was like, Murr? Hook you up.
Please.
Sean, if I had a dime for every time you wanted me to hook you up.
That's true. It's sad, but it's true.
I'd be one rich gore girl.
You would. You'd be rich and famous. Rich and famous. I'm in
this. If I had a dime for every time you outed me for something on this show, yeah. I'd be pretty wealthy right now, too.
Well,
we haven't done that many shows yet, Bonnie, so...
I've been outed multiple times on the same show for various things. So.
Hey, Gigi, you know, a little bit later we got a cat coming on live on location looking for the Lizard Man.
Yes.
I see that coming up as a movie, don't you?
I want to meet him simply for his tongue.
The Lizard Man?
Yeah.
Oh. You found him, baby.
I was going to say, this sounds like all sorts of Sean to me. I don't know.
I was caught in North Carolina, apparently.
Sean's running around. They start calling it the Lizard Man. They're like, oh, no. Ladies, if you'd like to meet the Lizard Man, please attend the next G&D function.
I wonder if you could buy him. I wonder how much it would cost.
If you could buy the Lizard Man?
Yeah.
Is it like Bigfoot where, like, they actually have laws in some states where you're not allowed to shoot Bigfoot?
Don't shoot Bigfoot.
I think you can kill the Lizard Man. You
I think there's laws in states that please do not shoot Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
Yeah.
Well, that's because of all the attempts.
But, I think there are some laws in some states where you guys are hanging in the post office.
Yeah, you know what? I think so. And see, all they have of me is the infamous towel.
That's right.
Pieces of the towel laying around everywhere.
If you Nathan see this towel, please call.
Nathan S. Dog sodomy. Did you hear my story about dog sodomy earlier?
You know, it doesn't shock me. I mean, what was it, like the first show we ever did, I vomited in my mouth, and then it was just like a reoccurring
Every
thing,
show so. After.
Every show after, there was some sort of vomiting and liquids in my mouth.
Hey, Doug's here too, Gigi. He's laying on the couch.
How are you doing?
He's recovered.
I hear this little voice in the background. Hi, Doug.
Hey, what are you up to?
Oh, well, apparently we're doing a show or something. I don't know.
You are? Really?
I don't know, something.
Have another drink there, Doug. It's okay.
You almost said have another drink, Gigi. You almost said that. Swear to God, why does everybody think I'm always drunk when I do the show? Because I am.
Because you
no,
are.
No, I'm kidding.
Is the show any good?
I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah.
I'm sure
I don't know. What do you think about this Ghost Man Demon Hunter guy? What do you think?
I think they're hot.
I hear about that Bonnie? I hear that she's hot and that, well, whatever.
Well, you know,
all I got to say to our listeners, what else would you be doing, guys? Ghostly talk show. Come on.
Oh,
what else would you be doing from 9 to 11?
Where ghost hunters go when there's nothing else on TV.
Or the radio, apparently.
Or the radio.
Or
when
you don't
they're
have
tired
video
of
games.
Dancing solo, they listen to G&D.
That's right.
Sean's like, hey, wait, that's what I'm doing right now.
So what's going on, Gigi? What's the hot, happening, soaking wet movie you got to review this week?
Soaking wet. I went and saw that movie Shudder, guys.
So did I.
Oh, can I laugh now? How many freaking times do I have to see some crazy Asian girl crawling around trying to be scary? Cut it out! I'm dying. Oh my god, the first 53 were fine. I don't need another one. This wasn't like a Japanese or Korean like some of the other Asian films have been remade lately. This is actually a Thai chiller that was remade. So, as far as differentiating location, that's about it, guys. Pretty much this one is these newlyweds get in this horrible car accident, and they start having
this... start
their
marriage. Just end it right away.
That's a big sign.
I say get married, throw them into a volcano.
Please, help the rest of the world.
Help the rest of the world. Don't procreate, please. So they get in this car accident. The girl thinks she kills somebody. They're freaking out, and then they start seeing evidence of, like, the supernatural everywhere. And actually, you know, being Shudder, they mostly see it in pictures, and stars Joshua Jackson and Rachel Taylor. And Joshua Jackson's this big-time photographer, and he's like, oh. And all this stuff starts popping up in his photos, and blah, 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 blah. Please, come on.
Did he get any orbs? Was it orbs?
You know what? I was laughing, because I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, God. I was like, how many of these have I seen in just last year hanging out with you people? I don't know.
With us people.
Well, not that the pictures are yours, but just everybody hanging out with you guys, seeing all these pictures. I'm like, oh, these look vaguely familiar.
I know.
The funniest thing I thought, and I thought you guys would get a kick out of it, was she's trying to figure out the source of some of these, you know, shadows and blurs of light, and there's actual, like, imagery of this girl imprinted in the photo. So she's trying to figure out what it is, you know, she hears something about spirit photography. So, you know, they're in Japan or whatever, and she decides to go to this magazine. It's, like, really big out there, and it's, like, just... dead photography, that's all it is. It's just a whole magazine of pictures of orbs and shadows and all sorts of things. So she goes there, right? And she's talking to the guy, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, and she's looking around the newsroom. She's like, oh, wow, you know, this is great, you know, all these people, and I'm going to get an answer, and this is awesome. And she looks over, and the guy's on the computer photoshopping pictures. And he's, like, putting spirit faces in all the pictures. And she looks over at the manager that's running it, the editor-in-chief, and she's like, "What? I thought this was for real." He's like, please, we only get, like, 1 out of 1,000 that are real. So,
wow.
I thought that was hysterical.
That was not the funniest thing that happened.
It was the funniest thing that happened.
You are not Gigi.
The funniest thing that happened was...
I look like her.
I don't like scary movies, right? And I went with Chris and Wendy of Metro Paranormal and my friend Drew. Uh-huh. And so I told Wendy, you know, before going into the scary movie that, you know, she would have to protect me, right?
Oh, God.
And she didn't protect me one bit. She just sat there watching the movie. And then so Drew was going to protect me, right? Well, at one point... he screams and twists around in his chair. I'm like, some protector you are.
Yeah.
That reminds me of, like, bringing the bucket to see Ghost Rider because we had to catch Bonnie's puddles from Nicolas Cage.
Hit the button,
so.
Nathan.
Yeah, because, you know, I can't control it. I'm sorry.
So the funniest thing was when...
carry some wet naps when you hang out with her people. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, definitely.
Or towels. But anyways. Back to your review before Doug so rudely interrupted.
No, I want to hear what Doug. I want to hear what Doug says is the funniest thing that happened.
I already did. I already said it.
It was so boring. You missed it.
It was.
I fell asleep halfway through.
You fell asleep halfway through the movie?
No, halfway through your telling of the funniest thing.
Guys, it's the funniest thing that ever happened. 3 years later, and then that was it. That was the funniest thing that ever happened. Was it really the funniest thing? No, I'm just kidding, dog. I love you.
When do we get some zombie sheep again? I mean, come on.
You want to hear something funny? I was actually...
No.
Doug does, so he knows what is funny.
Here, here, Doug. Let me take out a pen and paper. Take some notes down. We'll teach you how to do this. No, I'm just kidding. So I'm watching like I don't know what movie it was.
My Gorker. In his own. I mean, our girls.
Deservedly so.
I'm used to it from Bonnie and right. from Sean and right. Nathan, but Gore Girl now.
Well, I love Doug.
You two and I have been talking to each other more lately.
You all are a bad influence on Gore Girl.
Wait, I know. I've been...
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're a bad influence on her. Have you met her? Come on.
I don't know where you guys are getting these ideas from. But.
All right, what's the other funny thing that happened then?
Well, this wasn't about this movie. We were just talking about zombie sheep. I was watching some movie. You know, people rent weird things, like things I reviewed like 7 months ago, they decided to rent. So one of my friends rented, like, I don't know, it was like 1408 or something. She rented something, and one of the previews was Black Sheep. And the second I saw the opening frame, I was like, oh my god! And I like leaped across the bed, grabbed the remote, turned the volume way up. I was like, watch, zombie sheep, yay! And everyone's like, oh my god, she's having a seizure. Quick. I was like, I think at one point I was assaulted by astral-projecting perverts and zombie sheep. I don't know. I can't remember.
In a past life.
In a past life, where I was Joan of Arc.
As Cleopatra.
Yeah, I was Joan of Arc as Birth of the Stake. It was great. Good times. That's just like the 75 other million people that were Joan of Arc at Birth of the Stake. But no, I was Joan of Arc. It was great. No, So it's funny because how long ago did I do the review on Black Sheep, and it's just now getting exposure. I mean, that's kind of cool. I thought that was really cool. And you know what? G&D, we scooped Fango.
That's right, we did.
Because I did my official Gore Girl seal of approval like at least a month or two before Fango ever reviewed Black Sheep.
That's right, you did. Oh, my God.
So we scooped Fango, guys.
So we scooped Fango, and now we're talking about Shudder. And
which was really gay, and I swear to God, I can't handle this anymore.
Kind of like Bonnie.
I can't handle it anymore.
Wait a minute. Wait 1 minute, Nathan.
We approve of all lifestyles.
You?
Way to blow it, guys.
Are going to die.
You are going to die.
I'm just trying to save you from somebody proposing or something.
Sabrina, I have to tell you really quick. When you get done with this, go to MySpace, check out the photo album. There's 170 pictures up from last night. You're going to want to see them.
Something tells me there's going to be a lot of comments on MySpace.
All from Gore Girl.
You're going to want
What's that sticking out of Sean's butt?
I don't think Sean's the one you're going to focus on.
Yeah.
What? Man?
Somebody else.
It was a gerbil. I'm sorry.
I like to be spanked.
We know this.
When Nathan loses control of the show, the only thing he can do is make lesbian jokes about
it. I think so.
It really was.
I have that control, and I can...
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those who go to the Demon Hunter Order of
Films. I was innocent this
time.
Hey, you know
I don't have a button for me, so it's just got to...
I think just for old time's sake, I'm just going to have to do it, guys. Bonnie's hot! And a lesbian!
Our show is done.
I'm not saying shit.
No, I'll bring it back, guys. I'll bring it back. Seriously? Okay, Shudder.
If I would say lesbian on Ghostly Talk, I believe Scott L. would have farted and passed out. Okay?
So. In that order.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
No, seriously, Shudder, this is pointless, guys. I'm so tired of this. I'm seriously getting peed off because this is just disgusting, all these freaking Asian remakes. I'm tired of Asian remakes. I'm tired of sequels. I'm tired of remaking classic horror films. Did you see the damn Prom Night that's coming out?
Yes, yeah. Prom Night 2.
No, Prom Night. They're remaking the old Jamie Lee thing.
Oh,
I mean,
are they?
Come on. The original, you know, Jamie Lee movie was classic because it was so 70s corny, disco-ish. It was great. But no.
Hey, I wore bell-bottoms, okay? Let's not,
Wore?
Yes. Yesterday. But...
Prom Night 2. Prom 2.
He's in them now.
Came off like a prom dress, did it?
whole time.
Now you've reminded me of my prom.
The whole time we're talking, Nathan's got this like beat in the background. He's like, yeah.
Boom, boom.
I'm Demon Hunter. Yeah.
Much like this show, fell to the ground. Prom dress.
No, but I'm just done, guys, with this Asian stuff. And I mean, when I was at Nashville, we were all blasting all this stuff.
Hope you don't.
The horror fans are done. The horror fans are sick of it.
Now, what could they do to make it better, Gigi?
Asian remakes.
Asian. Stop making these Asian horror films.
How about this? Let's not remake films anymore. If you can't come up with an original concept, put the camera down.
Oh, but I'm really looking forward to the movie version of the Andy Griffith Show.
The Asian remake of it.
I'm looking forward to the Asian remake of American Ghostwatchers.
Yes, I am.
I'm looking for the Asian remake of Deep Throat, okay?
I want to see the Asian remake of Under the Rainbow, too.
I want to see the Asian remake.
We're just spinning this off.
Mayberry Deep Throat. What was it? Andy Griffith Deep Throat.
There you go, Sean. Come up with your own idea for a change.
I was like, Sean, if you can't come up with the original concept, put the mic down.
We just got done saying no remakes, Sean.
I just
no Googled. Remakes.
You know, sit together. Watch a comedian every once in a while, will you, folks? Thank you.
On the bright side,
slap.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
There is a bright side to this whole Asian thing. It's coming to an end. Because the audiences are getting sick of it. I was hearing people talk at the horror conventions. I mean, all the celebrities are sick of it. Everybody's just done with the whole Asian remake thing. And that's unfortunately the only thing that's keeping the horror community going right now amongst the mainstream fans is they get a spurt every once in a while. Like, you know, we get the slasher spurt, or we got the teen spurt with Scream. You know, we get little, like, niches every once in a while. And now we're on the paranormal / Asian remake kick, and I think it's coming to an end, guys. So I'm happy to see that. Well, unfortunately, they're remaking all the classics now. This seems to be the new pattern, which ticks me off, but that's all right.
It started out with Rob Zombie's Halloween, right?
Oh, God, one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. Hey, Rob, well, I got an idea. Instead of making me watch Halloween, why don't you just gouge my eyes out with a hot poker? That would have been so much more fun. I can't even handle it. I can't even handle it. Hollywood, please, can you take it out or use more Vaseline, all right? Because you're killing me. Your shot's killing me. I'm too sore from all this stuff. Jesus, I'm sorry, guys.
You're sore from last time we were in Decatur, so hush.
I can't sit right, Sean. I can't
say. No reusing my lines.
Hey, I don't want to hear it from the lesbian, all right?
It was me that time. Was me. So, Gigi,
I'm
almost afraid to ask.
I'm so confused about my sexuality at this point. It really doesn't matter.
I want to do a poll. How many people think that Gigi and Bonnie actually slept together?
I'm in.
Me.
Oh. Well, why don't you put that on the forum there, GGI?
Hold over.
The polls are closed.
You two are dirt
boxes. I almost hate to ask it, GG, but how many, like, floating dust orbs does this film get?
Oh, man. I'm like, ready to stab a pen in my eye right now. It's seriously, I'm going to give it, like, a 4. Because I tried so hard to... I mean, it was comical because of how predictable it was and how just like every other... The Ring, Grudge 2, Dark Water it was, so... Come on. Enough with it. I'm sick of it.
Do you hear that, folks? She's sick of
and
it.
And I'd like to know, is this what happens to people when Dawson's Creek dries up? They have to do, like, Asian remakes?
I'm really in need right now for the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie to come out. You know, I need that.
Wait, which one? I mean, the Christy Swanson one. That was classic.
Well, I need the new Sarah Michelle Gellar Buffy to come out.
Oh, that would rock. That would rock.
You know, poor girl, I slept with Bonnie. And I've also slept with Sean.
That's true.
And Scott.
I think we all slept with Bonnie at some point. I don't know.
And yeah. I've slept with pretty much everybody.
You know, Doug. Yo. I've yet to sleep with you.
All right, next convention.
All right.
No, you're incorrect. You slept with him in Gettysburg.
Oh, right. That's true.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
I slept with everyone.
Hear that, Doug? She forgot about you.
The last night in Gettysburg, I slept with Sean. You slept with Doug.
Oh, I did sleep with Doug. Mm-hmm. Oh, we were all in the same room. I forgot.
Aren't you happy that I remember everyone's
I think so.
Partners.
Hey, do you guys want to know what a whole hour, filling a whole hour with absolutely nothing sounds like?
Listen to Ghostman and Demon Hunter at www.ghostanddemon.com.
Hey, we just filled the fans in on the fact that Shudder is just like every useless Asian remake out there. We're saving them $8, $9, $10 at their local Cineplex, sure. So.
That's right.
We're helping the public. We are helping people.
Well, TG.
Has there been a decent movie come out lately?
No.
Yeah, have you? The last few movies I reviewed, I gave pretty good reviews on, like, what did I review? The Signal?
We don't know. We didn't listen.
I don't even know. I'm so sorry.
I was too busy waiting to push the button to see what Sean said, you know.
If you didn't mention my name, I don't listen, so sorry.
Which is probably every show, so you should be listening to every show.
I know.
No, The Signal was good. That actually came out. That was pretty decent. And Doomsday, it was bloody. I like blood, so it works.
I enjoyed The Orphanage, so.
There you go.
But, Gigi, we have to take a quick break because I have to let these guys go have a cigarette, so.
Are they fiending?
I got a feeling they probably are.
Doug quit, by the way.
Oh, I'm done.
Doug, you quit?
How much time is our break?
You,
6 minutes.
I think you'll have 6 minutes, Sean. You have 6 minutes.
Yeah. So. Woo! Go!
So, everybody.
Peace out. See you later.
We're going to take a quick break. Gigi, thank you very much for this week's Inside the Horror.
Thanks, guys. And we have lots more goodies coming up. I have some scoop on some stuff, so I will let you know next week.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you then, Gigi.
Okay.
All right, everybody. We'll be right back.
Stick around. First up, Jeffrey Stewart, founder and investigator from the Paranormal Investigation New England. Stick around.
The objective is to kill men. To kill mankind.
The goal of the demonic is death. Plain and simple, it is death.
All of a sudden, he gets slapped in the face and he flies against the wall. And his hands are secured across the face.
It's very scary here. Everything about it is scary. The work in this field, our face is very
short. It was escalating to where objects started moving.
This is a war that we're fighting. What you're talking about does not think in human terms. It is from another time and place.
Demonology today. Class is now in session.
Featuring Janet Deal, Alec LaSalle, and Deborah Johnson.
Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. Central, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. Only on the I Am Haunted Radio Network.
Found myself on my knees.
This is Doug.
And this is Scott L. from Ghostly Talk.
Reminding you to tune in to Ghostly Talk on Sundays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Heck yeah, Doug. Visit Ghostly Talk at www.ghostlytalk.com. One of the world's premier paranormal talk shows.
Totally, Scott. Download hundreds of free show archives. Read the world's latest paranormal news. And be sure to visit our forums.
Pimping the grassroots paranormal community since 2002.
Dead air never sounded so good on Ghostly Talk.
This is Troy Taylor of the American Ghost Society, and I love listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Well, that was Juliana Downs with Let Me Be Your Pain.
Boob tree. That's all I can say. Boob tree. That's what you guys get for not tuning in the first hour. You miss what the boob tree is all about, everybody. But thanks once again for joining us. If you're just tuning in, Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show listeners, it's going to be a great show this evening. Demon Hunter, you know who we got live with us tonight on the phone?
No, I just made the phone call.
Hope you call Collect.
I want to know.
Well, we got Jeffrey Stewart. He's the founder from the Paranormal Investigations of New England Society. What is going on, Jeff?
Oh, man, like I just said to you guys when you called me, I'm still trying to come down from that. And that was just a perfect intro. Boob tree. I can see it now. I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to get called to, you know, one of these rooms because I do maintenance. You know, I'm just going to think boob tree. That's it. That's going to be the word of the day for me.
I'm telling you, Jeff, this tree looks like a woman. If I could chop it down and take it back home, I would. As a matter of fact, I might go back out tonight.
Jeff, if you haven't noticed, we're not your typical paranormal broadcast.
Can you say splinters?
Oh, my God. Ouch.
Jeff, have you ever investigated a boob tree?
You know, I haven't, but I tell you, we've got some pretty interesting trees out here in Vermont, and I'm just going to say that the lower anatomy fits it very well. So, you know, cut it down, match it up.
Jeff, I gotta tell you that Bonnie Joe and Dougie S. from Ghostly Talk Radio is joining us tonight. They're our guests with us, so they'll be asking you some questions too, probably.
Great. More the merrier.
So where exactly in Vermont are you located there, Jeff?
Burlington, which is right off in Lake Champlain.
Yes,
the infamous Champ.
Champ,
yes.
Yeah.
Our illustrious Chrissy P., who does our reviews on paranormal writing, attended Burlington College.
Oh, great. That's not too far from where I'm at right now.
Right, right. And Sean B., the ghost man, attended the community college for poor boys, and he didn't finish. And that was in Beautiful Indianapolis, Indiana, right down the street from Woolworths. In the White River.
He's making it sound better than it was. It was actually upstairs of Woolworth in one of the rooms there.
So have you heard anybody who's actually seen Champ, or have you seen Champ?
No, I haven't personally, but, you know, we've gotten a few reports, you know, through the website, people, you know, asking to come out to the area. And of course, you know, PINE, we do a little bit of everything. We just don't do ghost phenomenon. And so, of course, you know, we get out there with our gear and, we try to do the best report that we can and take a look at some of the photographs. But, no, you know, nothing exciting yet.
Well,
that's it. Go ahead, Nate.
No. I was just thinking, you know, we don't really get that many chances to do something other than ghost hunting there, Sean. Right. You know, so if we're lucky, we might get a Bigfoot report, but chances are Doug and I will be sitting in a pair of chairs waiting for Bigfoot to come to us.
Right, because that's the only way to hunt for Bigfoot.
Ladies and gentlemen, most likely they'll be in lawn chairs, nude, with butter on them.
Yes.
Waiting for Bigfoot.
Best way to get a tan.
I'm quite sure they won't be waiting for
Bigfoot. Yeah, that's not the best way to do it. You'd look like a big noodle or something.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, Jeff, what you just talked about with your group, you guys don't just stick to ghosts. Now, that's something that's very rare that you see in the paranormal community. A lot of cats, at least out where I live, they do these ghost hunting groups. That's strictly what they do, ghost hunting. So what else do you guys kind of do? Do you get into, like, fairies and gnomes and all that? Now, I've met some people do that. Do you guys do that kind of investigations?
You know, not really gnomes and fairies, but, you know, pretty much anything from UFO, cryptozoology, you know, occult. I've actually had the privilege of working with the police on an occult case local wow. here in Vermont. So, it is unique. I think, you know, it's a subject that I've always been interested in since I was a kid. So I also worked as a private investigator for a while, and I kind of got, you know, interested in the paranormal doing that as well, believe it or not. And, of course, that's where I got my skills from.
Yeah, it's neat you say that, too, because I was with the sheriff's department here in Marion County in Indiana, and that's kind of what got me started on this, man, because, you know, I started doing the caseworks and started doing the reports, and you had to be really thorough, and they did a whole occult class in the academy, and they talked about certain calls that they had went on and witnessed certain things and how to deal with it when you know, because when you're a cop, you have to walk into certain places, and sometimes weird stuff happens. I did not know that, but when they talked about it in the academy, I thought, man, this is some serious stuff. They're actually teaching cadets about this, you know?
Oh, yeah. I hear about that a lot, actually. We got a member who works for the Colchester Police Department here in Vermont, and, you know, he's definitely a good asset and a good investigator to have on our team, so... Yeah, I mean, it's good, you know, especially, you know, nowadays, you know, you have to have some broad knowledge if you're going to consider yourself a paranormal organization and or investigator.
Right.
And, you know, without, you know, eliminating all the other aspects of the paranormal. You know, I know demonology is kind of a big thing now. People are doing ghost and demonology and, you know, eight, nine years ago, we just called it a cult, you know, and... So that kind of just, you know, that just kind of covers a little bit of what we do.
You know, it's funny. I was at a conference about two years ago, Jeff, and somebody had asked me a question, and I referred to it as, you know, occult studies. And everybody looked at me so funny, like I was running out in the woods with a black cloak on, dancing around a fire.
Yeah, everyone, it's a misconception, absolutely. It really is.
Well, that you know, I never – how many cases do you think you see – because you do a lot of them. How many cases do you think you've witnessed that has, like, occult status? I mean, somebody's been practicing witchcraft or and the hauntings happen from that.
Well, so far, I've been introduced to just two out of, you know, the 8 years that I've been doing this. One actually is with another fellow co-guest of yours, Jim Snell, and his group, which I also help, you know, with, of course, is Granite State Paranormal, our neighbors here in Vermont. And, you know, they actually just got, you know, media attention for an occult case. And then just shortly after that, it just seemed like, you know, a local police department that I'll, you know, kind of leave nameless because it's still undergoing.
Right.
You know, called me up to do it. And I'm like, wow, you know, people are finally, you know, police agencies are finally coming out and saying, look, you know, maybe we, you know, should ask for a little bit more help.
And, police are always looking for Sean and I, too.
Yeah, they they haven't caught up with
the
shit.
That might be something different. Oh. We probably have bounty hunters after you.
there's a price on our head. But you know what, Jeff? It's funny. I grew up in a haunted home, and that's kind of what got me started. That was what had me started in this. And upstairs, in the upstairs rooms, there was a big – it was all painted black, okay? And when we first moved in, there was a Satan painted on the wall. I mean, the face, the horns, everything. Now, of course, my brother thought it was like Ozzy Osbourne. Some kid was really into him or whatever. But Dad was real big with the Baptist church at the time. And, of course, he thought it was, you know, demonic and somebody was probably doing something. And maybe they were. Maybe they were. I don't know. But the whole room was black, had the Satan on the wall. Dad painted over it with white paint, nonetheless, so you could still always see the black through it. And we had a lot of things happen in that house. I mean, whispers. My bed was at the end of the staircase, and you would hear footsteps come all the way down the stairs. And at the end of the stairs, you'd hear the, you could never make it out, but they were there. My blankets got tugged a lot of times, things like that. Now, do you think...
It all stopped when they changed Sean's medication.
Right, well, Yeah. Well, the Prozac's working fine now, everybody. So, no, I'm kidding. But, Jeff, do you think satanic worship or something like that, witchcraft, could have led to some kind of haunting like that? I mean, is that classic signs, painting a devil on the wall?
You know, I really don't have an answer for that. I think, you know, that's more of Saintism, maybe even Santeria. You know what
right.
I mean? I think that's more of a religion than anything. It sounds like what you were experiencing is, of course, the classic, you know, poltergeist phenomenon, you know, just manipulating itself. I mean, anything that's Santeria or Satanism is usually demonic and evil, and, you know, they're more about, from what I've read and what I've studied, is they're more about trying to manipulate you versus using objects and symbols, you know, in your house, but... you know, I it wouldn't surprise me, you know, to be honest with you. Just, you know, unfortunately, I don't have that, you know, that answer, because I haven't worked on a whole lot of cases that were relevant to demonic activity.
Right. Well, there was definitely something there. It seemed to happen all the time when Dad was at work. You would, me and Mom would be downstairs watching Woody Woodpecker or whatever on the TV, and you would hear, like, cabinets and stuff just being banged against the wall. I mean, very loud stuff upstairs, and you'd go up there, there wasn't nothing. Nothing moved. Everything was in the, you know, it was the weirdest thing you'd ever want to see, man.
And, of course, this is the first time any of us are hearing about it, so Sean has kept this a deep, dark secret all this time. So it's,
well, you know, on my profile, Nate, it says, you know, grew up in a haunted home. I've never really gone into it that much. Dad always said, you know, I don't think it was haunted, although he did have a pastor come through and bless each room of the house just to be safe. But, me and Mom heard a lot of stuff there, so...
Now, so you haven't had that many demonic cases, but you have had a lot of cases since you started this group.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, raging A to Z, you know, cryptozoology cases. We've had a lot of Bigfoot sightings in the Bennington area in Vermont. Actually, a good friend of mine, Joe Citro, wrote a lot about Bigfoot sightings here in Vermont. We personally have been given a few reports of it. Again, like I said, we've gotten CHAMP reports checked up. We've even gotten UFO reports, which is another kind of major study for me. I'm actually this summer going to be an official MUFON investigator. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm trying to, you know, I really want to do a little bit of everything, you know. I don't want to just stick to one thing. I've always enjoyed...
That's kind of Sean's rule with dating, too, so.
Apparently, I date manly women.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's what I heard.
Harry Bigfoot.
But, Jeff, anyway.
getting on the UFO, brother, how do you even start? Now, we all know how to, I mean, a lot of us know how to do ghost investigation. You go in, you do the prelim, you ask people the questions, you record it, you do EVP, you EMF. Now, how do you start with UFO investigations? What do you start with?
Well, it's very, you know, it's almost similar. You got to take the report down, take their, you know, their name, the address, you know, the whole nine yards of where they actually seen the craft. Then you go out and, you know, you meet with the person, you know, and you basically try to get a visual of what they seen that night. So you take pictures of the landscape and then kind of do kind of a CSI thing where you go out to the field and try to see if there's any debris left behind and, you know, take photographs and, you know, try to make the best description you can, and then we would forward it to MUFON.
Right.
That's pretty much it. You know, otherwise than that, you know, probably get together once in a while and do some stargazing, but,
You know what, Nate? I just found out about MUFON a couple of months ago. I didn't even know that was real, folks, but you can actually call in. They have a helpline.
About 24 hours, yeah.
Hey, Jeff, some people are saying in the chat room that they're having some trouble hearing you and that we're starting to sound like robots. Can you hold your phone a little closer to your mouth? Or?
Yeah, is that better?
A little closer, Jeff.
Oh, Lord, and there it goes.
There is spit on the microphone. Well, listen, to tell you honestly, what I got is I got a Bluetooth, or my friends and I call it a black tooth because there's a lot of that here in Vermont. So my black tooth device.
No tooth.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said when I first tuned in the show, I heard stuff about boob trees and lesbians shaving themselves, and I said, "There's nothing different about that." Yeah, that's all normal conversation. So.
Well, you're from Vermont. I really thought that the lesbians didn't shave themselves up there. But
No, that's just the tree huggers.
Oh, okay.
Comments and Nathan Schoonover?
Well, Sean is a tree hugger now.
Actually, I am.
I've dated a few lesbians, and as far as I know, they take care of themselves pretty well. So.
Okay, well, that's great, Jeff. Let's scratch all the ghost and UFO stuff. Let's go into that stuff.
I was going to say, Jeff, I dated a few women who weren't lesbians before I started dating them, but afterwards they were.
I can believe that.
Listen, if this was a different show, I've been in some weird situations. You want to talk about paranormal, that's it. So, off to what I was
Vermont.
Saying. Vermont.
That's great, man. Only on the GD show, folks. This is the only place you'll hear these kind of stories.
I know, yeah. You live by your names, all right? Oscar and Felix, huh?
So what about Bigfoot, man? What about this big, hairy cave beast that's out roaming the woods, man? I mean, have you had any close calls with this cat, phone calls, whatever? I mean, how do you investigate that guy?
Well, you know, pretty much the same way as UFOs. You take the reports as detailed as possible, and then you go out and look for evidence.
I'm pretty sure I waxed Bigfoot's back this week.
Yeah, for some reason he's elusive. There's no hair samples behind.
Yeah, if you guys want to go.
Yeah, you do what you can, basically, more or less. You know, I try to help the people out and, you know, more or less hear their story. You know, they want to report it to somebody. Of course, you know, I'm like everyone else. You know, I believe in unity, so I pass on these stories to the groups that, you know, I'm a part of, like International Paranormal Investigators and
unity.
Paranormal USA.
Right. Remember that?
What's that?
But Jeff, you got the that's I commend you guys, because it's so hard just to do one thing, to try to discover the paranormal with the ghost aspect of it. I can't even imagine taking on swamp creatures and the whole nine yards, the Bigfoots and everything. So hats off, brother.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a little bit of everything. It keeps life interesting, and like I said, it's all that I've been into, you know, my whole entire life. This isn't anything new to me.
Right.
You know, like I said, for the last 8 years, I've been involved, and I've seen it go from, you know, you tell certain people about it to, you know, God, it becoming a media, you know, phenomenon.
Right. Now, you know what, Jeff, when I think of New England, I think of the old tombstones. I think of the black cat in the moon. It's perfect Halloween kind of thing. You know what I mean?
How many crazy places are out there? What's the best place, rather, that you would have someone go if they wanted to experience something like that? You know, the old-fashioned tombstones and all that.
Well, you know, a lot of people would say Salem or Danvers, Massachusetts, but, you know.
Salem, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good, you know, spot to go to. But if you want to get away from the Halloween witch hype, I would say go all the way out to Saco, Maine, or even up here in Vermont. We got a place in Waterbury where there's, you know, tombstones dating from the 1600s. You know, so that's, you know, if you want to do some grave, you know, ghost hunting, then yeah, I would definitely say there. You know, we've got a lot of stories.
Do you get any luck out there at the cemeteries doing EVPs and stuff?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't do a lot with the graveyards because I have my own theory that, you know, entities are usually left by, you know, some form of trauma or some form of residual haunt, and more than it is, you know, people just dying and laying around. Not that it's a bad thing to anybody that does graveyard ghost hunting. Right. I mean, that's, you know, good. You know, we need someone checking them out. But I personally don't really involve myself with them because, you know, I did that when I was younger as a teenager. You know, my friends and I used to get the old micro cassette recorders and go out and try to capture voices of the dead.
And you know, that's where a lot of ghost hunting groups, brother, that's where they get started. They'll start out going to these cemeteries. I remember going out with a group in Indiana in the middle of winter snowing, walking through a cemetery at night trying to get EVP. And you know, people, of course, take the pictures with the snowfall, and they're going, oh, my God, there's orbs everywhere. You know, but that's where they get their start at, out in the cemeteries.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was just talking to somebody on Satan Space the other day, on MySpace, and I think it was in one of the paranormal chat rooms, a 14-year-old person had been saying that they were a ghost hunter and they hunted demons. And, you know, I was kind of in there going, well, you know, maybe you should get some more training first. I don't want to discourage your life's goal, but that you're talking about some heavy stuff. And what do you think about this fact that there's these, it's becoming a fad with young people going out into the graveyards to do the ghost hunting and stuff like that?
Well, it could definitely be dangerous, or, you know, for the folks or for the young, you know, teenagers that are interested in it, that kind of, you know, like folks that I've helped around here just do reports on what it's like to be a paranormal investigator and all the phenomenons that, you know, we investigate. That's great. But for the young generation trying to go out and you know, do this type of thing and look for demons, and I would definitely highly recommend against it. I mean, God forbid if kids do anything, but I guess at least they're not at home, you know, doing drugs. Really don't know.
You know, conjure up Satan or do drugs? I don't know, folks. I've been to a lot of cemeteries.
Satan or do drugs. Mm.
Right, or both, you know. No, we don't condone that, guys. But I've been to a lot of cemeteries where I see the little tea lamps, candles that kids have burned out there and stuff. Man, even when I went to school and I graduated in 95, there was people that practiced witchcraft there. And there was a couple kids that would talk about it quite often. And I got to tell you this one story. There was a girl that sat behind me. Everybody said she was into the occult and stuff like that. But you know how kids talk. And she was sitting behind me in English class, and I had said something to her. And she touched the back of my head, and as soon as she touched the back of my head, I felt this, like, a shock. And my nose started gushing blood. Could have been just a regular nosebleed, but, I mean, the moment she hit me, the nose just went wham, and blood just started coming out. So I don't...
I was really worried there, Sean. You said she had touched you, and something happened. I was worried where that was.
And I was gushing, yeah.
You were worried something else was gushing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pretty dirty, Nate, I'm gonna say.
I think the nose was more noticeable.
Oh. Now, Jeff, do you believe, of course, you believe in the witchcraft and the possibilities, you know, the voodoo and the magic of that stuff. Some people say if you don't believe in it, it doesn't work. What do you believe, studying the occult?
You know, first and foremost, I am optimistic and skeptical, you know, not a skeptic, you know, just skeptical of those religions and beliefs. And, you know, I'm kind of a see it guy, you know, unless I've experienced or seen it myself, I really have a hard time believing in it. I'm not saying that it's not possible. It's just something that I haven't seen. You know, what happened to you, you know, could be a number of things. I mean, you know, think of all those karate Jet Li guys that can tap you and knock you out, you know what I mean? Who's to say that there isn't a spot on back of your neck that you can't just, like, hit the right way and make your nose bleed? I mean, but, you know, I really don't know. I mean, anything's possible. I mean, what'd you do to get her all mad at you? I mean, that'd be my question.
I want to know what Sean said to her that made her want to make him bleed.
Well, that's the funny thing, Nate. We were all, some guys were picking on her or whatever, and I didn't like her very much either because she was just a raging sweet gal, and she said something
to me. You
had
to do that when I had a mouthful of soda. Thank you. Go ahead.
And I told her, I said, just turn around, you know, I don't want to hear it or whatever, and then she hit me on the back of the head. Not hit me, granted, touched me, like E.T. phone home kind of touch, real soft, right? I felt the spark, my nose was pumping blood, man. And I always thought about that, stayed in the back of my head. And I didn't know about that. It fascinates me.
Sean's talking Heinz again, you know. He's got that boob tree in his mind. But
I got to tell you, Nate and Jeff, I had the doing this show, you get to meet a lot of great people. Nate knows this. We get to talk to him. But last week, and I was talking to a voodoo princess?
Priestess.
A queen? Okay, voodoo priestess, princess, priestess, I'm sorry. I'll probably grow a donkey tail and ears now, but I was talking to her on the phone, talking about possibly coming on the show, and she told me some amazing things about voodoo and everything. And I got to tell you, after talking to this lady, she definitely believes in the power of this stuff. And she told me there is no, you either believe in it or not, it happens. So.
I guess that's, you know, you can take that as the theory of, you know, the people that say, well, I don't believe in God, and, you know, like, well, that's okay, because God believes in you.
Right, so right.
It could be one of those scenarios, but
I'm just trying to get out of life without a donkey tail and ears, bro.
Too late.
Yeah, I'm already a jackass.
I don't know. After that conversation in the beginning, you're going someplace, and I can assure you it's not the light.
Yeah, back to the boob tree.
I'm sure I'm going tree. To...
Really Sean's going to be haunting the boob tree for the next millennia.
All right, listen, I want a detailed map of where that place is, because I'm going to see it myself.
I will get it for you tonight. I swear it has a perfect profile of a... I don't have, like, a busty blonde. That's at least what I imagined when I was looking at the tree. Don't ask me where I got blonde at, but it came out of me.
Oh, Jesus.
Now,
somebody told me a blonde's in my future, so any ladies listening out there.
Jeez.
You're going to go back and dye the tree blonde.
What
now.
Makes you think it's going to be a lady?
Yes, Sean, I'm blonde.
Oh, my God. Good night, everybody.
That's the end of the show right there.
So,
showstopper.
Jeff, you get out there and help a lot of people. Where can people find you? Do you have, like, you have a website? You have phone numbers?
Yeah, you know, I actually have pinewengland.com. And you can also see us on MySpace/pinewengland.
Right.
So there's more than one way to get a hold of us. There's no 1-800 number yet. The funds don't call for that. So.
Yeah. Well, we know that feeling.
Yeah.
But Chrissy P is always trying to get me to go back up to Burlington. So the next time I'm coming up there, I'll have to let you know and come by.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, you're not too far. You're from Connecticut, right?
Yep.
It's blonde.
I've actually... blonde Connecticut?
Everybody, if you want to reach Jeffrey Stewart, do that at 1-900-HOT-GHOST.
Hot ghost. Boob tree.
Boob tree.
1-900.
Oh no! Now Sean's gonna have me buying the web address boobtree.com.
69boobtree.com.
I'm gonna make you bleach your hair, actually, Nate. That's what's gonna happen. You're a little less blonde than what I like.
Oh my God.
Ooh! Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
Boob tree.
Yeah, boob tree. Jeff, that's gonna be your that's gonna be your fondest.
I'm dead serious. Tomorrow I'm just gonna walk around now and go boob tree.
Yeah, somebody said something stupid, just go, you said boob tree.
Yeah.
Jeff, I love you, man. I think you guys are doing great stuff out there. I hope I get to get out and see you. I can't afford the taxes out that way, so I can't live, but I might come visit.
Hey, anytime. We're always here.
Any events or anything coming up that you're going to be at that people can meet you?
No, hey, unfortunately, nothing yet. You know, I thought about making something up to sound good, but, you know, I just couldn't come up with anything, you know, good enough.
Well, then people are just going to have to head over to your website and check you out.
Yeah, that's right. Come on over and say hi. You know, feel free to email me anytime. I'm usually here.
PINewEngland.com.
That's right.
.com.
Well, Jeff, we're going to take a quick break because we're going to have to come back with your buddy.
Jim Snell.
And then we'll be talking to him about hunting the lizard man.
That's right, guys. Yeah. So, Jeff, thank you for joining us tonight. You rock, brother, and I definitely will be calling you back. You guys stick around. We're going hunting for the lizard man. Tonight, Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
Stick around, we'll be right back.
The American Ghost Society's 12th annual Haunted American Conference will be held June 20th and 21st in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor at the Haunted Lincoln Theater.
Speakers include Patrick Burns, John Zaffis, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Keith Age.
Also, Lynn Adams, Luke Nalbarski, Dale Kazmarek, Stephen LeChance, and psychic Ken Bird.
Don't miss this two-day event with special investigations and tours sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
To register, guys, go to www.prairieghost.com/conference.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Broadcasting live from this event will be the Ghostly Talk Radio crew and Nathan S. and Sean B. from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show.
Witness a special live performance on the Lincoln stage from Spectrum Men, the Atlanta horror punk band made up of real-life ghost hunters.
Admission remains the same as 1997, $50 per person.
It's the 12th annual Haunted America Conference in Decatur, Illinois with Troy Taylor. Register now.
The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy. Sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
Hello, darling. This is Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Oh, God, Elvira, you haunt my dreams, baby.
Oh, ever since the day we've had her on the show, Sean, I play that one just for you.
Oh, she is smoking hot. We got to get her back on, but just getting a hold of her agent and everything is just so tough.
Well, she knows your number now, so they keep hanging up.
Of course, the police to scan my phone number at her house. That's you can't do that. But Nathan, the big man's in the house tonight. His first time on the G&D show. He's calling, he's live on location, looking for the lizard man in the swampy bog somewhere in Carolina, I believe. And that, of course, is Mr. James Snell. James, what's going on, brother?
What's up, my brothers? How are you?
Hey, James, how's it going?
Good. I bet you guys are drier than I am. Let me tell you, it's pouring out here. But we're hitting it hard.
Where are you at, James?
We are in Bishopville, South Carolina. And some people may have heard about the Lizard Man legend down here. What happened was it was the end of February. A car was attacked by this creature, and it literally ripped the fenders apart and the grill and the hood and teeth marks and the whole nine. So we're investigating that right now.
Wow.
But it's raining, it's pouring. Are you, like, out investigating, or are you stuck in, like, tents?
No, let me tell you, we do it rain or shine. You know, I know you guys know all about ghost hunting. Bigfoot hunting is a whole different game. You know, we're out here in the elements, in the pitch black, in the middle of the night, in the middle of the woods, no flashlights. We do a lot of similar things to ghost hunting. We'll do the infrared night vision cameras, and we set up static cams and in the woods and stuff like that. We do a lot of forensics testing. We have a forensics guy in our team. So we'll do blood samples, DNA, and all that stuff.
You said no lights. Do you? How do you hunt in the dark?
Well, you know, you got to have good night vision. You know, when you use the lights in the dark, you know, I'm a former Marine, and night vision is everything when you're out in the woods, you know.
Semper Fi.
So what's that?
Semper Fi.
Semper Fi. Semper Fi. Hoo-ah. Yeah, I mean, we're hard when we roll, boys. I can tell you that, you know, rain or shine.
It's a good quality.
That's right. Hey,
that's
who's
Bonnie
that?
Joe,
the comments of Sean, the comments of Bonnie
on.
Joe.
How you doing, sweetheart?
Oh, nothing. What you doing?
Oh, well, just hunting Bigfoot.
Yeah, well, I'm just making really inappropriate comments and embarrassing Nathan.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm glad to hear it.
That's what I do.
Keep it up, babe. But yeah, go ahead, guys.
You know what, James? You're out there on location. You allowed us to call you tonight, so thank you, brother. I think this is the first time for the G&D show to call someone on location. So can you describe the area that you're at right now?
Absolutely. You know, it's there's a good length of a couple acres of forest out here. There's some swamp, which is usually indicative of this these different creatures that we hunt. We always end up in swamps for some reason.
Yeah.
But there is some rural area as well. There's a highway off to one side. This isn't as deep as we usually go in the woods, this particular location. But, you know, these people, they had their vehicle attacked. Now, we went out today and we did a preliminary investigation. What happened was they had some cats. They had a bunch of kittens on their porch. And, this thing was after the cats. What we figured out, what we think happened.
So he was chasing.
He was chasing poo-poo. Okay. That's awful.
I bet it's a male.
Lord forgive me. Lord forgive me. Anyway, what happened was, what we figured out was the cats probably ran up under the engine compartment of this vehicle. It's a minivan. And this thing was ripping it apart trying to get them. It did get them. There was about four or five cats that were munched, so. And that's not a bad thing usually, but these guys like their animals, so.
Nathan now, everybody listens to the show, Jim, Nathan is a cat lover.
Oh, see, no, I don't like cats, so it didn't break my heart.
But I'm not a cat lover the way Sean is a dog lover, because there are laws against Sean's dog loving at this point, but.
Yeah, I heard that about him.
Quite frankly, you should all be cat lovers.
I love the kittens. Hello, hello. So you're out there, you're down the rope from you got the swampy area, you got the rain coming down. Now,
yeah,
has this foreign. Creature, is this creature the lizard man, right?
Yeah, it's called the lizard man. Now, the weird thing about it is it's been reported like in a 10-year span for the last 30 years and always on the 08, you know? So it was in 88, 98. And now 2008.
Wow.
So it's interesting. We
now
we,
are you
we
far
usually,
enough off the road that people don't like pull up and go, "What are you doing?"
Oh yeah, you know we get that everywhere because we roll. We got a trailer, you know, with all our gear in it, and we're constantly we can't stop for gas without having a photo session.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Sounds like traveling with this group.
we usually hunt Bigfoot. We just got back from Paris, Texas, which is our hottest spot. We love investigating down there. Again, it's the swamps, you know, but we've gotten some phenomenal evidence in the form of prints, feces, hair, video. You're going to see some really good video coming up this year in our new movie, some stuff that's never been seen before. And then, in my personal opinion, there's been nothing out there like this since the Patty film.
Oh, wow.
So, this is exciting stuff. We went down and we shot an episode for an A&E show called Speaking of Strange.
Uh-huh.
And it went off well. We found a new print, which was just unbelievable, the quality of this print that we got. But
you know,
also,
I read a book like that one time, James. It was called Looking for Strange.
Looking for Strange. Well, I'm not allowed to do that. I'm a married guy, so.
That's right.
Well, I can only look at the strange. I can't actually... look for it, you know.
Welcome to the G&D show.
Oh, he's going to be back. James is
too late. Yeah, you know, we like to spice it up with a little monster hunting every now and then, too, you know. So we've last November we were up in Seneca, Illinois, and we hunted out the DuPont monster. There's a lot of neat stuff on that.
Now, what's that? And, what's the DuPont monster?
The DuPont monster is pretty steeped in folklore out there. It's we think it's a Bigfoot creature. I mean, some of these monsters that get reported, whether it be Lizard Man or DuPont monster, you know, we think that they may be variations of this Bigfoot creature. You know, a lot of things seem to fit and lead us that way, you know. So we go out and we do the whole forensics thing and, you know, we do the actual field research. It's usually a little drier than it is right now.
Right. Now, but, James, the way you hunt for the big guy, the big hairy beast, the Bigfoot, is that the same way you hunt for the Lizard Man, or is there a little bit different stuff, traps and such?
No, you know, we have our standard way of going about it. You know, we go over forensics with the physical evidence. We conduct interviews. We, like I said, it's kind of there are some similarities to ghost hunting. We use a lot of the same equipment. We have thermal imaging. We have night vision. You know, we don't use EMFs, of course, but we use you know, the infrared cameras. We got static cameras that we'll set up in the woods, and we'll try to do a tree line. But it's very very much like a military operation. Sometimes we'll
Semper Fi.
Dig people in, you know, in a certain area, and what we'll do is we'll push. We'll get a line of patrols, and we'll push everything that's in the woods. I mean, when we were in Texas, we pushed everything out of the woods. We ended up with a bunch of pigs and deer and everything else, you know. So there's a lot more elements to this, and certainly, without a doubt, a lot more danger to this than ghost hunting, you know.
You've never been ghost hunting with Sean, because he pushed me in this mud hole once.
Well, see, the mud holes that we go in, they got alligators, they got snakes, they got all that fun stuff, and you're out there.
Nathan would never make it.
I still think Sean's more dangerous. But
well, you know what? Let's get you guys out in the field with us sometime, you know?
Let's do it, James.
We like danger.
Now, Doug and I have this theory that the best way to go on a Bigfoot hunt would be to define the area that Bigfoot is most seen at, then set up your lawn chairs and lie out and wait for Bigfoot to come to you.
Oh, bait.
And take you.
Yeah. Well, then, well, in that case, you guys definitely got to come with us, because we could always use bait.
Bait. Oh, great.
And James, of course, that's Doug from Ghostly Talk right
Nathan
there.
Nathan would just be like a toothpick. He's a twig.
Hey.
I think Bigfoot would
I would be the actual appetizer.
It's not meal. Like I could actually run.
Yeah,
if
he's the appetizer. I'm the meal.
Of course, everybody that's just joined us, I want to remind you that we're talking to James Snell from the Bigfoot Research Organization out there, and he is live on location hunting the Lizard Man in South Carolina. Now, I wanted to ask you, James, what's this car look like that this beast attacked? What does it look like? Can you see teeth prints and stuff?
Yeah, we cast some teeth prints today, too. We got some, we used Play-Doh, and because, you know, normally we use plastic Paris to get the cast of the footprints and stuff. But since, you know, you're dealing with a vehicle now, we use some Play-Doh, we cast the teeth prints, and we go about it in a very scientific way. We're looking to debunk, you know, we're not looking to fool ourselves or anyone else. You know, we put a lot of time and literally millions of dollars into this. This is such an operation here that people put their money up and invest in us to go out and solve this mystery. It's an unbelievable organization. We travel across the country doing this everywhere, you know, coast to coast.
I want to go, brother.
So apparently we got in the wrong field of paranormal investigating, Sean. It all comes out of our pockets when we do it.
Well, we got James. Yeah, you know,
it's the same way at Grand State Paranormal, you know. I mean, you know, we work out of pocket. But, you know, Bigfoot, let me tell you something. You know, a buddy of mine summed it up pretty well. One of my teammates here said that there's more evidence that proves that points to this thing being real than not. You know, I mean, we get these footprints. They have dermal ridges. They have you can see the joints in them. It's an unbelievable detail, the hair. Now, we sent this stuff out to labs and had it analyzed by some of the best labs in the country. This is no slouch operation, you know, and the stuff comes back, creature unknown, unknown species, nothing to compare it to.
Now you're saying the labs and the forensics, what kind of blood work and hair have you gotten back that said, like, unknown?
Oh, we've gotten hair samples back and blood work. You know, basically, it's sometimes like a needle in a haystack, but if you know what to look for, if you're good at tracking, I mean, you've got to be an outdoorsman, number one. Number two, you got to be kind of fearless, too, you know? I mean, this isn't really sitting in a living room, you know, talking to the walls kind of thing. This is, you know, a hardcore... This is a hardcore operation, you know? This is danger at every turn, and, you know, we're always getting hurt here and there and, you know, bitten and...
Not like those,
you know,
wussy ghost hunters.
Well, hey, I'm a ghost hunter, too, so...
I am, too. I know. Am, too.
But this is hard, man. This is hardcore stuff here. You know, it gets me to feel like a Marine again, even though my body doesn't, but...
Right. The mind's willing.
Well, yeah,
absolutely.
I think I'd make good bait. So, yeah, we'll come down and...
Yeah, we'll get you out there sometime. I mean, where are you guys at now?
Well, Sean's in Indianapolis, and I'm in Connecticut.
All right. Well, Connecticut's not that far.
No, I got a brother in South Carolina. I'll drive down.
Yeah, you know, we're all over the country, you know. We're going to be up in your neck of the woods, I'm sure, at some point. We get reports from all over.
Hey, James, I got to say one thing to you about what you guys do, and I love the work that you guys are doing. You're one of the coolest guys that do it that I've met.
Thank you.
And the thing about this is I talked to, like, the guest we had on before, your buddy Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff.
He was talking about he was skeptical. He's not a skeptic. He was skeptical to things. I had the opportunity last week of talking to somebody that says they were skeptical. I'm a skeptic. Mm-hmm. I'm a skeptic, but I'm open minded to everything. And then I started talking to him about things like Bigfoot, the Lizard Man, things of that nature, and things that really get me. This guy looked at me when I said the Lizard Man or whatever, and he rolled his eyes, and all of a sudden he got this better than thou attitude, and I said, dude. Listen, and the stuff that spouted out of his mouth I didn't even listen to because it wasn't worth listening to. This cat was closed-minded. He wasn't skeptical. He wasn't a skeptic. He was closed-minded. And this guy is actually – I've talked to a couple of them via email that have wrote books and made their fortunes on being on TV and stuff, and they're hard heads. They're not open to anything, so they're not going to learn anything. Well, how many do you run into these kind of people doing what you do?
Well, you know – there's a lot of terms that get thrown around in both the paranormal business and in solving any of these mysteries, you know, and one being skeptic, one being scientific. A lot of people claim to be scientific. A lot of people claim to be skeptics, but they don't fit the definition. It's just, you know, I think a lot of these definitions get lost. But the point is you don't want to fool yourself either way. You don't want to say, you know, go out there and see a Bigfoot or a ghost on every corner. And you don't want to go out there and miss it because you're too skeptical. You got to be even keeled. You got to consider everything. You got to consider all the evidence and data. You got to be good at collecting the data. You got to pay attention. I mean, for instance, you know, today we're pulling cat hairs out from underneath the engine compartment of this vehicle, you know, which proves our theory that the cats got up into that vehicle. I mean, this is stuff that takes a lot of time. A lot of insight, a lot of looking, and, you know, it's pieces of the puzzle. You need to find them. You're not going to figure it out unless you find those pieces of the puzzle.
One thing I got to ask, Ben, what tore the car apart, though?
What's that now?
You know? I mean, I wonder what tore the car apart.
Yeah, well, that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of, you know, and again, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. We can't pull up onto a site and spend a day investigating and come up with an answer. Sometimes we never come up with the answer. Sometimes we do. It's one of those deals where you can try to get every little piece and every little scrap of evidence. You spend all night long. We don't sleep. We're in the field dealing with the conditions of the field. I mean, like right now, not only is it pouring, but it's friggin' cold out here. But, you know, right. We're out here. We're doing it, you know, and you have to. You can't sit behind your computer and, you know, tear apart other people's work. You got to get your ass out there and do it yourself.
Absolutely. You know? You've got to hump it, baby. Hump it.
Now, a while back, Doug and I
That's
were
looking. That's what she said.
Doug and I were looking at places to go on a Bigfoot hunt last year, and we looked up on the internet for the best places. Where would you say if people wanted to go out and just do an amateur Bigfoot hunt, where would the best place for them to go?
Well, you know what? If you're going to do it right, I don't suggest doing an amateur Bigfoot hunt. Like I said, it's dangerous. This is dangerous business out here. You know, like I said, we're not, you know, I'm a ghost hunter too, and I've been in, you know, grand hotels and lighthouses and really relatively safe environments. And this is not that. This is not right. Safe environments, you know. This is not for somebody who's just feeling their way out, feeling their way around. You got to take the time. You got to learn what you're doing. You got to hook up with the right people. That's the most important thing. One person is not going to do this stuff, you know. You need a team. And everybody in our team is good at what they do, and they all do, you know, different aspects of this investigation. But, you know, as far as amateurs, you know, I don't suggest the amateurs doing it, man. It's just too friggin' dangerous.
So if we linked up with the right people and we got the right information and we got out there, then where would you say, you know, who would you, if somebody like Doug or I wanted to go out and do something like this and learn, are you available for people to come and learn from you, or do you recommend someplace
for
them to
go
and learn?
You know, every year we try to, because we want people to see that this thing is out there. We want people to experience what we experience. We don't want you to just listen to us. We want to show people. So every year, we as in Searching for Bigfoot as a group, we'll open an expedition or two to the general public, and then they can come out, you know, and we'll give them training, we'll give them classes. I don't have one on the slate right now, but we can definitely keep you up to date on that, and we'll let you know. You can post it when we do set one up. We're just so busy right now. We're doing a lot of filming. We film for A&E and various other programs and stuff right now. Everybody seems to be interested in what we're doing. Because right. It's so different and so serious compared to what, you know, most other Bigfoot organizations are, you know, weekend partiers. And that's not us, man. We roll 24/7. We're on the road. We drive 30, 40 hours at a time, you know, in rotating shifts. You know, this is a hardcore business. But we're more than willing to bring out people who are interested and people who want to learn and people who want to have an experience. We do open that up so that we can give them that a couple of times a year. We try to do that.
Now, James, while you're out there right now on location I know you've been out there for about a week now, right?
Yeah, we've been a little over a week. We went from California to Texas, and now we landed here last night.
Now, since you've been there, have you heard anything weird or any kind of noises, any kind of weird things like that that might be the Lizard Man or might be like a lead to the Lizard Man?
Well, not thus far. No, we haven't. We haven't had anything like that. But like I said, we just got in late last night. Our first order of business was getting the forensics down, investigating and taking a look at the vehicle, talking to the vehicle and property owners, talking to the neighbors. I mean, we go through everybody. And, of course, you know, when they see the trailer and they see us rolling through town, whether we're at McDonald's or a gas station, they come up and tell their stories to us. So we do get an abundance of information from locals that, you know, that's another difference between this and ghost hunting. People come up and tell us their stories. And usually, you know, they jive with each other. You know, when you're in a local area, people have had these experiences. And, you know, the beauty part is we're talking to people who don't know each other. You know what I mean? So there's you know, and their stories jive.
Now, wow. I was wondering, you know, one of the things when I watched movies like The Blair Witch Project and stuff and people were out there in the woods, I was watching them wander around worried about the cracks in the trees and, you know, the crackling sounds and stuff like that. And all I could think is, well, you're in the woods in Pennsylvania and you didn't bring a gun? You know, do Bigfoot hunters bring guns with them when they go out?
Well, you know what? We're trying to capture this creature if we can, okay? So we're a non-lethal organization. We don't carry weapons. So, you know, we got knives and stuff like that. We've got stun guns, stuff like that. But, you know, and the gun laws vary from state to state, local areas to areas. So, normally, no, we don't use firearms usually. We have more passive means of protection. And, you know, like I said, that's just another reason why, you know, it's a ballsy thing to do, you know. We're out there unarmed, and we're dealing with alligators. We're dealing with killer pigs in Texas, man. I mean, those things scare the hell out of me. But, you know, we deal with it.
I deal with a killer pig on this show all the time, too. So.
Well, you wouldn't like the ones they have in Texas, brother, let me tell you. Unless you can climb a tree real quick.
Yeah, I'm not that good at climbing trees anymore.
They try to get even for all the ham eating we do, I think.
Well, you know, speaking of climbing trees really quick, James, in all your cryptozoology studies, have you seen a boob tree?
I have not seen a boob tree, but I have seen a couple of Bigfoot.
You have?
I had a sighting in Paris, Texas, almost a year ago, about this time last year. And I had a beautiful sighting last November in Alabama. We went down to investigate a cattle rancher who called us, said something was snapping the heads off his cows. And we went down there. We had our forensics guy go through the bodies of the cows. They had snapped necks, you know, and the way that they were snapped was nothing that anybody or anything out there, known creature, could do. So that was a fantastic case. And while we were out there, something walked right through the pasture, right in the broad open. I had it on the thermal. Seen it head to toe, and it was very mellow, very comfortable in knowing itself that we couldn't see it. However, it didn't know that we had the toys that we have. So we got a beautiful sighting out there. So we have a whole handful of really good hot spots.
So how bad do you pucker up when something like that happens? I imagine it's a lot seeing a ghost.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'm desensitized. Because, you know, I've been a ghost hunter for so long that stuff doesn't scare me. When I saw this Bigfoot, I ran after it. I chased it. And before I could get to it, it ran off into the tree line.
James, this sucker's like 8 foot tall. It's got muscles bigger than you.
And I've always heard that Bigfoot wasn't, like, mean. What's he doing snapping the head off, snapping the necks of cows?
Well, you know, they're homivores, and... You know, normally their diet consists of a lot of high protein fruits and vegetables and stuff, but they will take meat when they can. And this was just one of those situations, you know. They will take dogs, they will take cats, they will take cows.
Their necks weren't only snapped, but they were eaten?
Yeah, they were disemboweled. Their necks were snapped and they were disemboweled. So, and this happened to several head of cattle out there. So it's a phenomenal case, and it's one that we're still working on. But I find it a very promising one, too. Now, our leader, Tom Biscardi, he believes that these are migratory creatures, which makes sense to me, you know, that they move from place to place depending on the weather and time of year, because you're following your food sources, you're following weather conditions and whatnot. So, you know, that's also what moves us all about the country. We got these migratory paths mapped out. Tom, in his 35 years... we have the benefit of his research and his experience that he's been doing. So it really gave us a step up, a huge jump on all of this. So now it's just the legwork to do, you know, to get out there and catch one of these things. And that's what we're trying to do. Matter of fact, we got a movie. Tom did a movie in 06. It won the Best Documentary Award at the Pocono Film Festival. And I'm going to give you guys one to give away to one of your listeners tonight.
That would be awesome. Hold on one second.
Absolutely.
I'm trying to keep Sean on the line here. I think we had a little bit of a disconnection there with Sean.
Well, we don't need him.
Yeah, who needs Sean anyway? I mean, for years I've been trying to get Sean off the network. And
there you go. You did it. He's done.
And apparently it worked because he's gone.
You think I scared him?
Yeah, I think you must have.
I would feel awful if I scared him.
he's not anywhere to be seen on the network. In fact, I was connecting him through Ghostly Talk's line to the show because, you know, Ghostly Talk, he's in the Ghostly Talk studio right now.
My buddy's over at GT
right now.
Yeah,
love those guys.
And he apparently, they apparently have had some problems on the network. So let me try.
Are you sure Scott L. didn't dump a beer on the board?
Well, you know, that's always possible.
It's always a possibility.
With Sean, you never know. It could have been him spilling the beer on the board. But since we're running out of time, let's talk, you know, about this DVD again.
Yeah. It chronicles the teen's adventures in 2006. It's a phenomenal movie. It'll give you a good idea of what we do. However, I do have to say that the film that we have coming out this year, the sequel, will blow your mind. I mean, the video evidence that we have is mind-blowing, and I can't even describe how mind-blowing it is. But you're going to have to wait to see it, but we're going to release it soon.
Well, as soon as that's released, definitely, we'll love to give a copy off to one of our listeners.
Oh, you
there.
Betcha. We'll comp you some copies, brother.
Absolutely. We'll I forgot to do that. Forgot to do that tonight, James. I'm sorry.
That's cool.
And that way we will just keep talking about you, James, in the months to come.
Absolutely.
And
well, you know, we'll still give you a DVD and you can give it away next week or something.
That sounds really cool. That sounds really
absolutely.
Cool. Why don't you throw out your website there for everybody listening?
Sure. We're at searchingforbigfoot.com. And my ghost hunting group is granitestateparanormal.com over there in New Hampshire.
And with all that going on, people can check you out. They can find
absolutely.
Out more about Bigfoot and the proper way that they should be getting out there and learning from the people who know what they're talking about. Like we in ghost hunting tell people all the time, learn from the people who know. It's the same with cryptozoology.
Yeah, you know, that's a rare thing, too, that you know, a lot of people in the Bigfoot world anyway, they'll either send you on a camping trip or something like that. They're not really willing to share their locations. They're not willing to share their information or teach anybody. But we are. You know, we want people to experience what we've experienced. We want people to realize that this thing is out there, man.
Well, Jim, why don't you hang on the line for a second there while we get ready to wrap up, because we're going to have to wrap up for the evening.
So you bet.
If you can hold on for 1 minute, I'll take the chance
absolutely.
To thank everybody for joining us here tonight for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
That's right, Demon Hunter. Hey, guys, remember to lock your doors tonight. The Lizard Man is still on the loose. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on our forums because we want to hear from you.
Yeah, and join us next Sunday, April 6th, when we will be joined by authors Gary Joseph of Cape Encounters and Dan Gordon of Haunted Baseball.
Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. We won't. We love you.
That's right. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Love you guys.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Yeah.